Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up November 4th through the 6th in Colorado. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan Darty, and we have Dina Alexander with us. So how are you, Dina?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is a little bit better setup than the last time we had Dina, because we did it over the phone, and then I realized she's in town, so we need to make sure she comes into the studio to do this. But before we dive into what Dina has for us this week, let me just share with you again, as I do periodically, that we're a listener-supported broadcast. And what that means is the only way you're hearing my voice is because there are people that have come alongside and supported our ministry through generous donations. So if you'd like to learn about all the ways that you can partner with our ministry, either financially or otherwise, simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link, and you can learn about all of the ways that you can come alongside of us. Well, Dina, I want to jump in because, you know, the last time that you were with us, you sort of introduced your ministry to our listeners, and we got into some of the stuff about parenting and how do you deal with your kids and the struggle and all that. But I think, I think this time we want to talk about the stuff that everybody's thinking, but nobody wants to talk about, or everybody thinks they know what these topics are when you're dealing with your kids. But then once you start diving into some of these subjects, man, parents get real weirded out, and rightfully so. I mean, we've all come with baggage in our histories. None of us, if we're really honest, none of us go into parenting knowing what we're doing. And so then even though we've traveled through these stages in our lives of being 10 and 15 and older, our kids, it's the first time for them, and it's the first time for us having kids going through those stages. So let's talk about some of those tough subjects, and why don't you just share with our listeners what are some of the tough subjects that parents have when it comes to talking to their kids about sexuality?
Yeah, absolutely. When we go around and speak at different locations, we'll usually give a nice talk about how to, you know, talk to your kids about healthy intimacy, how, you know, the dangers of pornography. And then at the end, during the question answer session, they always ask about sexting, social media, masturbation, and predators. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that weigh on the minds of a lot of parents. And, you know, rightly so, these are big concerns. And a lot of parents are scared, you know. And so the first thing we like to talk about and help people realize is, you know, there are ways to get through our fears, mm-hmm. To kind of take time. The first thing I recommend is to take time to understand your fears. Where are those fears coming from? Is it from a bad sexual experience in your life? Is it because you had experience with a predator harming your life? And to kind of like even just journal it out, to list it out. And usually parents will find that they have created something much bigger and much scarier than what is really bothering them. Now, obviously, if somebody has had issues of sexual abuse and they haven't dealt with those need to be dealt with before mm-hmm. we start talking to our kids. But for the most part, a lot of parents have made this big, scary picture in their head. Or I think a lot of us have been socialized into thinking that this is an awkward or a scary conversation. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And then when I've gotten into discussions with various people, experts, parents, they realize a lot of that has been learned. It's been mm-hmm. learned in our culture. It's been part of sitcom television. It's something hilarious. Oh, yeah, nobody wants to talk to their parents about this. And it becomes scary. And I think a lot of times it's really not.
And don't you think part of that, too, is then some of the way we have been conditioned to set up how these quote unquote talks are supposed to occur or talk singular. So there's all this pressure that you've got mounting up until your kid's 12 or 13, because we've almost been conditioned to think, well, as parents, listen, when kids start to get to puberty, that's when you really start talking about sexuality. Forget the fact that from the time your child was born, they were male or female. So they're already possessed sexuality. So you're going to go 13 years without talking about sexuality, even though they've been a sexual being for 13 years. You know, so yeah. I think we have this notion that says only when they transition kind of from child to adult, meaning that adolescent period, when it becomes more obvious the male and female aspect of their being, that then we think, well, that's when you're supposed to talk about it. Yeah. And that's why I think it creates an awkwardness and a fear, because we go, first of all, that's an awkward period in life anyway. That transition when, you know, all these hormones are getting dumped into these kids from their brains and it's awkward for them. And then it only exacerbates the awkwardness for the parents because they're going, I remember what that felt like. And I didn't know what I was doing. How am I supposed to instruct my kids because I've waited this long?
Yeah,
because
when we've waited that long, we haven't created that pattern for us. Mm-hmm. And so we always say it's never too late, but it's to start those conversations. But it's also never too early. And right. A lot of parents will find, wait, I have talked about this, or I have modeled a good relationship with my partner. I've modeled friendship. I've been able to show my kids the difference between a friendship and a romantic relationship. So some of these things we're already doing, and it's kind of like, hey, parents, give yourself a break. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing the best you can. That's all that God or anybody expects of us. But also, if you can start early, do it. You know, our little kids need protective information. They need to understand what a predator looks like. They need to know, when is it time to say no? When are the appropriate times to say no to an adult? And when is it not okay to say no to mom and dad when I ask you to clean your room, mm-hmm. right? What is so amazing about my body that God has given me that I need to protect it, and that you are worth protecting, that you should go under the protection of your parents? These are just some basic principles that people don't really, this is part of a sex talk. Mm-hmm. Of knowing how valuable our bodies are and knowing how they're worth protecting. These are, you know, great places to start and helping your kids understand good touch, bad touch. Again, these are talks that you can have that need to be repeated. Again, that's one of those talks that sometimes we think is just, we don't want to scare our kids. So we're only going to have it maybe talk about that one time. That's something that we can very casually, very calmly remind them of, you know, and we need to have let them know about the adults that we do trust in our lives, because, you know, most sexual abuse, over 80, some people say 80%, some people say 90% of the sexual abuse that happens in our children's lives is from people we know. Mm-hmm. So we cannot just teach them to trust everybody or to trust, you know, and it's also to help them understand it's most likely not going to be the stranger at the park. It's not going to be somebody at the grocery store. It's going to be someone in our circle.
Which is incredibly confusing for children, because and that's why I think what you're saying is great in terms of understanding the value of their body, and that there are, no matter who it is, that there are certain boundaries that if they get crossed, that discomfort, that fear is actually a healthy type of fear and discomfort, and they need to be taught and know that it's okay to respond to that in ways of getting out of there, you know, certainly if they're in a place where they can yell for help, or they can, you know, that's okay no matter who it is.
Absolutely. In our books, we talk about helping kids. And one of the topics is, you have instincts. They keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And it's like a small little 5-10 minute lesson on how to teach your kids what to pay attention to those instincts, those icky feelings that make us uncomfortable. We also have another section called My Body Belongs to Me, and that we talk about forced affection. And this has been something that I had to learn over the years and then saw, oh, that the research actually backs that up. We have got to talk to our kids about you don't have to give a hug to anybody you don't want to, even grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. And that was a conversation I had to have, not with my kids so much, but with my parents, to say, I'm sorry, I need to teach my kids that they don't have to hug anybody they're not comfortable with. And this is setting a pattern. And my parents were a little surprised by that, but I let them know that this is, you know, what I was doing. And my kids pretty much always gave them a hug, goodbye, or whatever. But I needed to let my parent, the people I care about, know, and my children know, you don't have to do anything that's like an affection or a touch or a pat or a hug or anything that you don't feel comfortable with. They need to know that, because if we're constantly telling them, oh yeah, you have to go do that, again, that creates that confusion when somebody that we don't want them to touch our child will touch our child.
Mm-hmm. So now let's go ahead and talk about some of the things that create some awkwardness in parents, especially let's start simple or easy and kind of work our way up. So I think one of the things that really kind of scares people, parents, and I know you've talked about, we need to lay a foundation of having conversation with our kids, even when they're little, in terms of talking about their bodies and the value of that, and that, you know, why even modesty is important, because nakedness is a, you know, it's something to be protected. But then let's talk about the puberty change. And let's talk about, because I think that's a place to begin in terms of where parents often feel awkward, is, okay, they experienced it themselves as parents. I mean, obviously, they experienced puberty. But let's talk about how a parent can effectively, confidently, graciously talk to their children about that change prior to it happening. Because I think sometimes parents get late in having this discussion, you know, their little girl has a period before they even talk about that, or, you know, their son starts getting hair and they don't even know what's going on, you know. So how can parents set their kids up for being more ready to go through that change? That's a huge change for their bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, starting young, you know, with my kids, and again, what I've read with experts, what I've talked with other parents, that when they have started out, even as early as 7 or 8 years old, to let them know these changes are going to be happening. Because we honestly don't always know. We can say, oh, maybe this is when I changed. That is not the gold standard of what kids are having puberty younger and younger. So starting even early 8 and 9, I started with my kids, I had them starting to wear deodorant long before they actually needed it, to just say, this is what we do. We're kind of just getting ready for this. And that was the simplest thing to start with, deodorant.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a simple conversation and very non-threatening. And then to kind of start talking about some of the other changes. And sometimes it's helpful. Like, there's a lot of great books out there. We have books that, you know, show what the changes will look like to help your son know, to help your daughter know, this is what, you're going to have pubic hair here. You're going to get pimples. You're going to get breasts. You might have tenderness in your breasts. You know, there's even boys might have that, you know, letting kids know. And this is just very normal, talking about it in a very calm voice, not having a lot of anxiety, not, you know, having fearful, because they're going to pick up on that so quick. If you just let them know, this is happening to everybody, every kid you're in school with, look around, it's going to happen to all of us. And once they start clicking and kind of saying, that's right, okay, wait, this is going to happen to everybody, you know, we can do this. You know, and sometimes for girls and boys, when they learn about something like a period, it can be, you know, shocking, or they consider that very disgusting. Mm-hmm. And then again, that's our job as a parent to reframe that this is a sign of health. You know, that all of these things are part of health. This was part of God's plan to have these changes in our lives. They all have a reason for coming.
And don't you think it's important too for parents to recognize themselves, but also to even give permission, so to speak, to their kids that we're going through this together. So one of the things I've tried to do with my kids as they've been going through puberty and all of that is to be able to say, you know what? This is first for me too. Not in the sense of knowing what puberty is, but this is a first for me as a parent to have a child going through this. So you know what? I'm probably going to I'm probably going to fumble some on this too, but it's okay if you feel awkward, if you feel like, you know, okay, so when you're learning about some of this stuff, it seems gross or weird or, you know, that's all okay. And I think it's important for parents to know that for themselves, to know that, listen, if you have the expectation going in that you've got to hit home runs all the time, you are not even going to have the conversation at all.
Absolutely. That's something that parents get, that they set themselves up for this perfection. And I've seen people create these dialogues. And I also see parents that they come to us and they want us to literally script out the dialogue mm-hmm. for them. And I tell them, I have three kids and I've had three different scripts for every conversation. And that's how it's going to be with your kids. You know your kids and love your kids more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you have to convey that to them. I love that you said to let them know, I'm going to make mistakes. I tell my kids that all the time. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I wish I was, but I'm just doing my best here. I'm going to make mistakes when we talk about this. I'm going to make mistakes when we talk about political issues. When I talk about terrorism, whatever topics we're going to talk about as a family, I'm not going to be perfect on it, but I'm going to convey how much I love my child, because that's what they're going to get. That's what's going to bring them back to you for questions. That's what's going to bring them coming back for more, is when they know I'm not going to be judged. Mm-hmm. My parents are not going to get upset with me for being grossed out about something. My parents are going to say, hey, that's normal. That's right. We all have different reactions to this information and to other, sources of information. So
let's talk a little bit about those most common responses that you get when you're speaking to a parents group or whatever. So let's just start with the sexting issue. How do you respond to parents when they say, listen, apparently this stuff is all over the place and I can't even if I can control it on my own kids' devices, it's still everywhere. So what do you say to the parent who's saying, how do I not only talk to my kids about this issue of sexting, but how do I protect them and teach them how to protect themselves from this?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that's becoming epidemic. And a lot of times that we want to think about this, that it's just going to happen at school, but it's starting to creep into our congregations. It's starting to happen at churches, passing around photos, mm-hmm. Usually of girls. I think it's important to talk to them about not just our girls, but to talk to our boys, that we never ask for those. We see that double standard still exists for these things. We always say, why did she do that? Instead of mm-hmm. going, why did that boy ask for those photos? Yeah. So we need to have first conversations with both our sons and our daughters about this. Again, helping them understand the sacredness of their bodies and helping them understand that this is against the law, quite frankly, mm-hmm. for people under 18, and that this could land them into some serious trouble, and that there's no taking that back. So helping them understand that, again, kind of sometimes, and I know even as adults, we forget how huge the internet is, and mm-hmm. we forget that information is out there forever, and that sexting and photos can be saved in someone's iCloud, they can be saved on a computer, they can be put on social media, that we have got to protect ourselves. And it's one of those conversations that, again, we need to have more than once mm-hmm. to kind of remind us. Research is showing that if one girl starts in a group, the other girls in her group follow. Yeah. So that right there is for me reason enough to talk about this more than once. My daughter last year as a freshman in high school, there were girls being asked, which to me seems incredibly young. Mm-hmm. But we're hearing stories as young as 12 years old that girls are being asked for these photos.
And it's a whole different world of peer pressure today than when you and I were kids. It's and part of that is because technology has made the transfer of media and information so immediate. When I was a kid, if there was going to be any kind of gossip or anything that's getting around, there were a whole lot more barriers to those kinds of things happening. Now with smartphones and all that, there's no barriers anymore to this kind of stuff being able to get around a school in literally minutes. So
you made me think of something mm-hmm. else that we really need to think about and talk about, is that these sex talks, these puberty talks, these sexting conversations, they all have to go hand in hand with a discussion of our digital lives. Mm-hmm. Again, that was not a factor for us as kids, that we had that a discussion of social media and sexting came with a sex talk. We didn't even know those words. Those words did not exist. And those things have to be spoken about hand in hand with this, because mm-hmm. Such a huge portion of our kids' lives are happening on devices. Whether they're having relationships through texting, they're having a boyfriend, half their information or half of their relationship is happening through a phone. This affects the way relationships happen. This affects the way they feel about themselves. So it needs to be part of the discussion.
So that's a good segue into just talking about social media. You said that social media is one of the things then that a lot of parents bring up. And of course, I think the place that most parents' minds go first when they think about social media is how do I essentially fence my kids in? In other words, how do I keep my kids from doing certain things on social media? But how would you necessarily, and I'm not necessarily saying that that's bad, I'm just saying I think that's where parents' minds go first. But how do you typically address the issue of helping parents think through social media with their kids as it pertains to walking in purity?
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of kids are being exposed to pornography through social media. Most people I know, they were exposed through Twitter, mm-hmm. Facebook, or Instagram. That was their first exposure. And not just to two people, but to sometimes terrible, illegal things like bestiality right on Facebook. Somebody liked a video, they clicked on their friend liking it, boom, they saw mm-hmm. it. So these have to be addressed. We have to realize, you know, we have filters. I have filters. Any responsible parent has filters, but they are finding ways around every sure. single piece, you know, just by using emojis, right? On Instagram, if you do a search for porn, you will find very little. You mm-hmm. do a search for teen, you do a search using the eggplant emoji a few times, you will find a ton of porn, right? And that is what is happening with our kids. They're finding ways around everything. And mm-hmm. it's very difficult to police those apps. The technology just isn't there yet. So you have to make a decision. Okay, am I going to keep my kid off? Or am I going to let them on that? Or maybe just I'm going to limit them. Like, that's something I've done is, okay, you're allowed to be on one thing. You cannot have social. You cannot have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You got to pick one that where yeah. maybe where you and your peer group are, we're going to be talking about that over. And that's up to the parent to decide how much they're going to police that. You
right.
know, that's. But again, that's the continual discussion of helping our daughters understand. You know, this is why we're not going to put pictures of ourselves that are, you know, inappropriate. We're not going to self-objectify ourselves. And to our sons, we're not going to self-objectify, and we're not going to seek that out to our daughters. Why are we not going to seek this, you know, the gross stuff out? Mm-hmm. We have to just, again, reminding them, because it is a huge fear.
Yeah. And if you've set up a paradigm of a conversation so that this topic is known in your home and with your children, it's not as awkward. It's not as huge a leap. And you have an avenue to be able to connect with your kids. You know, one of the things that when our kids got old enough to where we started getting them phones and things like that, one of the things we made sure our kids have known, and they've known this from the day they were born, is we tell our kids all the time, said, you know, listen, for every change in your life, for every new responsibility that you are given in this home, we start with trust. The ball's in your court. We're starting
Absolutely.
With trust. So here's a phone. Now, obviously, we've got some accountability stuff on there. We teach them how to do it. It's not like we're just giving it to them without instruction. But when we give that to them, we say, the trust is now yours. So we're starting with trust. Now, how you handle that is going to determine how much trust you keep or how much trust you're giving away. And so there's a different amount of trust you give to a 7-year-old and a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old. But I think that's a way to empower your kids to say, you know, how I'm managing my eyes and how I'm managing my thoughts is really my responsibility. And I can't pass that off to a filter, and I can't pass it off to my parents, and I can't pass it off to anybody
else.
And
it's so positive. I love that you do that, because that's also setting them a pattern for their life, mm-hmm. not just for the home life living with mom and dad, but that sets a pattern for the rest of their life of what am I going to do with my accountability and my trust. I love that.
So we've got a few minutes left. One of the things I want to hit the harder topic, because here's what ends up happening is everything we've talked about now. Okay. You're talking about sexting and social media and some of that kind of stuff. There's still an easier nature to that. In other words, okay, we're talking about things that are on devices and how to manage certain behaviors. But then we get to this issue of masturbation. And my goodness, you want to talk about something that has a ton of controversy all over the map. And I'm not even going to assume that you and I are in perfect agreement on this issue. But that's the point, is this is one of those topics that parents, they will not talk about it. They'll keep it in the corner and they do not want to have this discussion with their kids. How do you help parents bridge that gap and say, we need to have a specific conversation about the issue of masturbation because there's hardly a kid alive, especially boys, but even girls, are hardly a kid alive that has not at least experimented with masturbation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, so the first thing parents need to do is get on the same page. If you are married, if you have a partner, get on the same page of how you're going to have this discussion, that you are in agreement. If you're going to set a standard, set a standard. If you don't believe that there's ever a time for it, then fine, you discuss that. If you think it's totally healthy, anytime, any place, you're going to talk about that. Even if you think your kids assume you feel that way, mm-hmm. you still need to have that conversation to kind of normalize it. You know, I'm not saying that you're going to encourage them to do it every day or five times a day, but to help take that guilt, that shame away from it. The way I handled it with my husband, you're right, is going to be different than the way you and your spouse handle it. But you need to figure it out. You need to. That's one of those parenting tips that people want me to say, this is the appropriate amount of masturbation that a teenage boy should be allowed. And I'm like, there's no such thing because mm-hmm. every child is different. Everybody has different needs. But I support a parent who says absolutely not. And I also support a parent who thinks it's okay because that's their home. They know that child. We're also dealing with other issues like autism and other mental health issues. We need to help our kids understand what our boundaries are. We also have to help them understand coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. You know, is this the best coping mechanism? Most people are using using masturbation as a coping mechanism. So we need to address, well, what are the needs behind that? Why do we sometimes feel the need to masturbate? Is it because we're stressed, we're tired, we're upset? So we have to address that and help them find positive coping mechanisms.
And that's typically where we try to take that conversation is saying, okay, let's make the issue the issue. And so many times the behavior of masturbation is so is such a huge thing in a parent's mind that it blocks them from seeing the issue behind that.
Yeah, we want to go all or nothing. And is anything in our lives all or nothing? No. We're gonna trip and fall. We're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna experiment with different. And this is one where we need to help them say, this happens. I'm not gonna freak out about it. You know, I'm your mom. I love you.
And that's probably why this whole thing, all of these conversations, this entire issue of speaking with our kids about sexuality and trying to train them in healthy sexuality needs to be couched in the sense of what are we pointing them towards ultimately? And I hope that's pointing them towards integrity, towards purity, towards managing their sexuality in the way they were designed to by God. And if all of that is pointed in that direction, so many of these things, if I can put it this way, sort of take care of themselves because you're dealing
exactly.
with the bigger issues.
We have to look at that big picture. I always say, what is the picture? What is the picture of health that you want for your child when they leave your house? Of not just sexual health, but, you know, intellectual health, physical health, spiritual health, and then help guide them toward that picture. Let them, you know, you're guiding. You're not forcing it on them. You're guiding.
So I know we have a lot of listeners out there that are parents that are going, okay, this is good. This is helpful. Like, where can I get more help? Where can I get more tactics and ideas and strategies for how to do this? So where could our listeners go to find more help from your ministry and what you guys offer?
So we are educateempowerkids.org. And on our website, you will find a link to our books, which are all on Amazon. We have 30 Days of Sex Talks, Empowering Your Child with Knowledge of Sexual Intimacy. We have a book for age 3 to 7, 8 to 11, and 12 plus. We also have another book called How to Talk to Your Kids About Pornography, and another book called 30 Days to a Stronger Child, which is about filling all of our accounts, our social, spiritual, intellectual, emotional accounts, so that we're not seeking after negative coping mechanisms. We call it our addiction prevention books. They have activities, they have all of our books have tons of discussion questions. We also have on our resource page, we have free downloadable lessons that you can help to kind of bridge those conversations, talking about good touch, bad touch, predators, talking about pornography, talking about media literacy. So that's all. We have tons of resources all over our website.
So that's educateempowerkids.org. And Dina, thanks so much for being with us. And we look forward to having you back again at some point. And listeners, we're grateful that you are here too. And again, I really want to encourage you to go to their website, get their resources. You don't have to be afraid of talking to your kids about these issues. And The good news is, even though there's a lot of darkness in our culture, we can bring light one family at a time. So thanks for being with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.